If you were following along in the Torah reading in Parashat Ekev, we see Moses's, if you will, second dissertation to the people of Israel. And what he says time and time again is that if you follow the commandments, if you follow the mitzvot, then you'll be rewarded with God's blessing and love. But in a piece that we just kind of skipped over, chapter 8, there's an interesting phrase in which we're told, V'ram levavecha, that God is telling B'nai Yisrael, lest your heart be arrogant, lest your heart be lifted up to a point in which you're unable to see anyone else but yourself. And that's what the mitzvot are supposed to do. It's supposed to be almost a boundary, almost a warning sign against that possibility of our heart becoming so inflated that we're unable to embrace the hearts of others. And so you can't help but wonder, if this idea is so important, making sure that our hearts are not inflated to that point, then wouldn't you think you would see the idea of being humble, the idea of living lives of humility, as one of the 613 commandments? But as the Baal Shem Tov asks and reminds us, he asks that very question. He says, look over that entire list and you won't find one exact commandment that lists that phrase, be humble. So he asks that question and then he answers his question, as the Baal Shem Tov usually does. And what he explains is that if we had a commandment that said, be humble, then unfortunately, knowing the state of man, knowing our egos, when we would achieve humility, we would check it off a list, be so proud of ourselves, be so excited, that suddenly pride would filter into our hearts, and it's almost as if the mitzvah would be canceled altogether. Our egos would override being humble. So it's a sad state. It's a sad admission on our part that we can't have one of the 613 commandments listing that beautiful trait of being humble. And what it means is that we have to institute that practice of living lives of humility on our own. So how do we do it? There's an interesting dialogue in the Talmud between the rabbis and, believe it or not, Yitro. Now, who was Yitro? Do you remember? Moses' father-in-law. And what Yitro says to God, actually, is, dear God, I'm so thankful that you brought my son-in-law out of the land of Egypt and into a land, or going on a journey of freedom. And I also want to thank you for leading B'nai Yisrael into a land of freedom. Now, the next line in the Talmud actually criticizes Moses, because when Moses offers a prayer of thanksgiving, Moses says, thank you, God, for leading me out of Egypt. So what's the difference? What Yitro was doing was thanking God for the well-being, for the welfare of others. And Moses was thanking God for the welfare of himself. And so what that leads us to is a particular exercise that I think each and every one of us can practice, certainly every Shabbat, but I think every single day. And that practice is the offering of a prayer, not only for ourselves, although for ourselves certainly important and natural, but the ability to offer a prayer for someone else's welfare, to pray that someone else today is healthy, that someone else today is happy, that someone else today gets a chance to live the life they always wanted. Even more so, could you imagine praying for a stranger on the street whose name you'll never know? That's how we lead lives of humility. That's how we transition between trying to be humble and actually being humble. So this Shabbat, whether it's later on during the Musaf Amidah, whether it's during a silent moment in which you have a chance just to utter some kind of prayer of thanks or petition to God, I ask you to expand your heart. Include in your prayers the name of someone else or someone else's face. And in doing so, we'll have a chance as a community, maybe not to fulfill a mitzvah of being humble, as we know it's not listed, but in any case, as a community, we will lead lives of humility. And that, in itself, is a beautiful reward. Shabbat Shalom.